I think Joseph must have been heartbroken. Absolutely heartbroken. Matthew doesn't tell us how he was feeling. There's nothing in his story to equal Mary's song that she sings in Luke when she finds out about this coming baby. But I am pretty sure that Joseph was chosen by God every bit as much as Mary. And based on that fact alone, he must have been deeply hurt. I've always imagined that Joseph and Mary loved each other, that they began their marriage together in love, but that wasn't necessarily so. They were betrothed, which means that someone, probably their parents, had negotiated their engagement. There was money involved or livestock. There were papers to sign. There were promises to make. It was a legal contract, and it was expected that the bride would be faithful to her future husband. It was expected by the culture and also by the law. And if she wasn't, the groom could divorce her. Papers would have to be presented, and the consequences for her could be high. Mary and Joseph were at the in-between point of their engagement. They were betrothed, the paperwork had been signed, but they had not yet celebrated and finalized their marriage. That would happen sometime in the next year and would probably include a wedding feast, and those parties could last for as long as 2 weeks. And then once the party was over, Joseph would bring Mary to his home. That's the way it worked. But everything had changed. Mary was going to have a baby and Joseph wasn't the father. So was he angry? Was he hurt? Did he think that Mary had fallen in love with someone else? Did he love her? Did he feel betrayed? He couldn't just walk away. If he wanted to end their relationship, Joseph would have to take legal action. It could be done quietly, but it would be more than just a word or two between bride and groom. It isn't like today when, you know, the bride could say, I don't want to marry you anymore, here's your ring, and they're done. There would have to be paperwork. There would be legal processes. We don't know a lot about Joseph. He's mentioned very little in the Bible. We hear about him at the beginning of Matthew and again when Jesus is a boy and he stays too long at the temple. We know that he was a righteous man, a good guy. He was faithful and devoted to God. And as a faithful Jew, he would also have taken time to care for his neighbors and his community. Scripture tells us he was a craftsman, a carpenter. And I'm fairly sure that he would have had a good reputation. People in town would have known him his whole life, and they would have trusted him, and they knew him. And then one day in the future, they would say, oh, isn't that Joseph's son? I have to think he was looking forward to his life with Mary, sharing a home, making a life together, starting a family, and then everything unraveled. In just a few days, Joseph went from being a respected citizen to being a laughingstock. His betrothed was pregnant, and they weren't married, and people were pointing fingers and making assumptions. Joseph didn't want to hurt Mary, but he also was in a terrible predicament, and he wasn't prepared to deal with it. And then the angel showed up. In her book, Light of the World, A Beginner's Guide to Advent, Amy Jill Levine says, when an angel comes to an individual to make an announcement, there is both the assurance of divine protection and usually a catch. An angelic visit, whether to announce a baby or a commission or to interpret a vision, typically requires a response. God's messenger came to Joseph and did what angels usually do, and he told him he should not be afraid. Don't be frightened. Which of course meant that something frightening was probably about to happen. And Joseph was going to need to trust that God would take care of him, and he should face the future bravely. He should go ahead with the marriage, but there was most definitely a catch. Since Joseph believed that the angel really was a messenger from God and not just some nighttime illusion, he and Mary were wed. All their previously made plans were shelved, and Joseph, who was used to seeing respect in the faces of his neighbors, now saw something else. People made assumptions and speculations. They gossiped and whispered and snickered, and still Joseph kept Mary's secret. He played the part that God had given him, The angel had told Joseph to get married, and so he did. And I really think he could have refused. At a time when he might have been bitter and petty, he was gracious and merciful. He was kind and faithful, and he took Mary home to his home, to their home. Time passed, and the baby came as babies do. And of course, as much as you try to prepare for every eventuality, when a baby is a part of the picture, there is almost always something that goes wrong or just doesn't go the way you thought it would go. It is something you cannot foresee, how that little person is going to enter into the world. But who would have guessed that the baby would be born in a barn, in a cave, smelling of animals and silage and manure? This was not the way that Joseph and Mary had planned things to be. And at first, it was awful. I always imagine that it probably rained that night. So not only are they in this stinky cave, this place where the animals have been, but everything's kind of wet, and it has that smell of wet sheep and wet cows, and they were cold, and how do you dry off from something like that? And they were desperate for a place that would be safe, where Mary could lie down to rest. Nothing about that night went quite right, or so it seemed. And the baby was born. And it was incredible. It's always incredible when babies are born. And Joseph probably wondered if the birth of this child would have been easier or simpler than a regular baby. I mean, this is God's child. Maybe this is going to be really simple. Maybe Mary would be saved the pain of childbirth. Would the baby look like every other baby? After all, this was the result of the Holy Spirit's work. Was this baby going to have a belly button? Would he be fussy and would he cry? I'm thinking that there was nothing supernatural about the way that Jesus was born. Matthew or Luke would have reported the details if that was the case. And so Jesus arrived the way that babies do. But then there were angels singing and shepherds sharing holy messages. And the little family went to Jerusalem to present Jesus at the temple. And quite unexpectedly, two elderly people, Anna and Simeon, came and they spoke holy words, declaring that this tiny baby was going to change the world. After that, things got quieter. They stayed in Bethlehem. Joseph found a house for them to live in. He started picking up work. Life began to feel normal. And then there must have been some days, probably, when Mary and Joseph didn't really think about all of the incredible things that had happened. They didn't think all the time about where Jesus came from or how it happened or who he was. They were just a normal family learning how to be a family together. And Mary was doing cooking and Joseph's building things and Jesus is teething and learning to walk and all of that. And then when he was just barely two, a group of travelers, magi, came to pay their respects, and they brought these incredible gifts, and they declared that this little boy was the long-awaited king. He was the one promised in Scripture. And then that night, the angels showed up a second time. And this time the message was short and to the point. Move quickly. Run. Get away from here as fast as you can because King Herod wants to kill the baby. Can you imagine? Everything had finally sort of quieted down, and all of a sudden, these strangers show up with all of their camels and fufa and whatever else, and now they have to leave. And once again, Joseph did what was asked of him. He woke up his wife, he bundled up the baby, and he left town. They went to Egypt as the angel had commanded, and they stayed there until Herod's death came about a few years later. Joseph left his family and his friends. He gave up his house and his home. He was separated from his community and his culture. No longer would he be able to worship and study at the synagogue or go to the temple for the high holy days. He left behind his business and his security. Married life, life with Mary and their child, was like nothing that he had ever imagined. It couldn't have been. Who could have ever imagined anything like that? Being a newlywed was supposed to be fun. Having your first baby is supposed to be joyful. Watching your child take their first steps and utter their first words, nothing was quite as it should have been. They were strangers in a strange land. They were refugees, they were homeless, and they were in danger. It had to have been terrifying, exhausting, and painful. And yet, through all of it, Joseph remembered the words of the angel. The baby that Mary had birthed was sent by God to be their savior. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph was willing to put everything on the line so that Jesus would live, which didn't make it easy or simple. It was just the right thing to do. It was the faithful thing to do. Egypt, of course, wasn't the end of their adventure. It was just the beginning. God would bring them back, and with Mary and Joseph's help, God would keep the child safe, and a situation that must have seemed hopeless on more than one occasion was redeemed by the God who loves us. I'm not sure why Matthew chose to tell the story of Jesus from Joseph's perspective instead of Mary's, but one of the things that I really appreciate about Joseph's story is that it isn't easy. It's messy and scary. It's tense. Plans get wrecked. Celebrations get canceled. Life doesn't turn out according to plan, and yet God is still present and active, and God keeps his promises. Jesus came to save us. Emmanuel came to be with us. People have tried to characterize Joseph and Mary as being more than mere mortals. The idea that Mary could be just a regular girl seems kind of unlikely for some folks, and so they gave her a whole background story of being conceived without sin, and so her birth was miraculous, and that got her ready to be Jesus' mother. And Joseph, well, they always make him to be really old so that, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, he's there, but he's going to die soon, and we don't really have to worry about him too much. Look at pictures of Mary and Joseph. Mary, cute young thing, age 14. Joseph is about 90. I don't think that's how it worked. I really don't. I think God wanted Jesus to have a dad who had a lot of energy going because he was going to need it. With all of his obedience, Joseph must have also had some tough days. Days of doubts and questions, days of frustration and sadness, days when marriage was a challenge and parenting was an absolute chore. Nights when he laid in bed and aches for things to be different. Joseph's dreams and expectations didn't turn out the way that he hoped and planned, and I think that's why I like him so much. For me, Joseph isn't the kind of guy who took all of this on without ever being angry or sad. He must have grieved for the life he realized he wasn't going to have, and he must have wished at some time or another that God had picked somebody else. And so at a time when he expected to be utterly happy and content, he wasn't. Does it sound familiar? It isn't always easy to be joyful at this time of year. Hopes and dreams don't always pan out the way that we think they're going to. A marriage unravels, a loved one dies, a job ends, bad things happen, and none of us are immune. But at Christmas, at a time when every message you hear or see seems to be telling you, it's time to have fun, to be joyful, to laugh, to play, to put twinkly lights on everything that you own. Isn't this the most wonderful time of the year? Isn't it fabulous? And it isn't always fabulous. There are times when it's hard to be joyful. The simple truth is that all of us have grief at one time or another. And Joseph's story is an excellent reminder that even when things seem hopeless, God is still with us. God keeps his promises. Preacher Arlen Hultgren wrote, "The coming of Jesus into the world is the sign of God's being with us. There is no greater sign. Other signs, whether they are in nature, history, or personal experience, can be ambiguous." Was that God or wasn't it? But this is not one of those. Jesus came into the world to reveal and to redeem and to show us the true character of God and to save his people from their sins. Today, we give thanks for the life of Joseph, for all that he did, for all that he was, and for the fact that he is a reminder that even when life is messy, even when life is hard, even when we are in grief, God is with us. Emmanuel is present. Our Redeemer has been born. Our Savior has come.